bail reform or bail deform. A lot of people are talking about bail reform. We had a horrible murder yesterday involving a subject with quite a sketchy and murderous background. And joining us right now to explain bail reform, and is yesterday's murder, is that to be laid at the doorstep of bail reform, or is that to be laid at the doorstep of a judge? Joining us is Buffalo attorney known throughout the Western world and parts of the East, including Malaysia, Buffalo attorney Paul Cambria. Paul, thanks very much for joining us. I just thought I'd throw Malaysia a bone.
I get it.
So, Paul, first of all, thanks for being with us on News Radio 930 WBEN, where Arthur Pressman traffic attorney time is 318. But do tell us exactly bail reform. For those of us who aren't big attorneys, what was bail reform?
Well, it was mainly on the federal side as opposed to the state side. And basically the situation was that the Bail Reform Act said that least restrictive requirements that would ensure a person's return and appearance in court were to be followed. In other words, it was just a matter of don't put any restriction in place that's greater than necessary to ensure that somebody shows up. And this was to alleviate disparities with people without assets who couldn't post a lot of money for bail. And so that was one of the reasons for it at the time. And the theory, of course, over the years has been that bail isn't supposed to punish people. It's just supposed to ensure that you appear in court when you're supposed to.
And if you don't, of course, you forego your bail and you're out the money. That's how things used to
Forego the bail and go to jail.
I forgot that. Yeah, I forgot that part of it. Obviously that's very, very important. But the bail reform, are certain offenses discretionary by the judge in terms of whether or not somebody is going to be released without bail?
Yeah, there's certain offenses, obviously murder and so on, where the statute would not provide for bail. There are most of the offenses, including serious federal offenses, bail can be set, both federal and state. Bail can be set with a number of conditions. No conditions about travel, conditions about people you could converse with or, operate with. There are a number of things that the judge could also require besides just money. So people typically, in New York State, let's say, the common, ordinary person with no real background goes to court, even charged with a felony. For the most part, they're going to be released on their own recognizance, which means they don't have to post either property or money. In cases where there may be a basis to believe that there is a risk of flight, judges can impose conditions, financial, they can impose travel restrictions. There are a number of other things that they can impose to try to ensure that you are going to show up in court when you're supposed to show up in court. So bail historically has been, number one, it's a constitutional right, but number two, a constitutional right to be eligible for it. Doesn't necessarily always be granted because you may have, for example, in your history, a situation where you were out on bail and you never came back to court. So you're a poor risk and the judge would say, no, you're not a good risk for bail. I'm not setting bail. Things like that could happen. But for the most part, bail is supposed to just ensure that you come back.
Well, how about the idea that a judge could decide that somebody is a danger to the community or somebody in the community to the extent that they don't want to risk the safety of the individual who might be victimized by the person who'd been taken in? Are the judges allowed to consider the danger to the public or members of the public in terms of bail or no bail?
Absolutely. There's a whole range of things you consider. For example, their age, their background, their family situation, their tie to the community, you know, roots to the community, things like that. And you consider whether or not they have a history of violence, whether or not, for example, they were out on bail on some case and a witness against them was assaulted and they connected it to that person who was on bail. You know, if they have a history of violence, retribution, things like that. Yeah, there are a whole list of factors that the judges get to consider.
Okay. I want to get back to that, Paul. Paul Cambria is our guest, Buffalo attorney on News Radio 930 WBEN, talking about this bail reform and what it is and what it isn't. A situation where somebody has violated an order of protection / restraining order. Paul, I was always under the impression that judges took that very seriously because that's like flipping the middle finger to a judge.
Yeah, 100%. They clearly do. If you have violated a condition of bail, they revoke your bail, and it's a cold day in hell when you get bail again. You violate, you're basically in jail.
Well, this is what is confusing, I think, a lot of people, because the suspect in yesterday's murder on Ogden Street allegedly violated a restraining order and was released, and it was his second break involving the same victim.
And that would be a basis for a judge in their discretion to say no bail. Now, on the other hand, I don't know all the facts there, but the judge could impose more severe restrictions in order to allow somebody to be on bail. For example, they could say, all right, now you're subject to house arrest. So you're on bail, but you can't leave your house. You know, things like that. Or you have to wear a monitor. And this way, electronically, we'll know exactly where you are. And those are the people that are confined to their home. And as soon as they walk outside the perimeter of the home, an alarm goes off. And, you know, the authorities are notified that they've broken a condition of bail, which was to stay home. So there are a lot of gradations. On the federal side, bail is easier sometimes than is on the state side.
Buffalo attorney Paul Cambria is with us on News Radio 930 WBEN and talking about bail reform and the horrible situation from yesterday. And I really do not understand how a person with the background of the suspect in the murder was considered to be a good risk to be out among the general public, in particular the woman he allegedly murdered, given the history of himself being a previously convicted murderer, somebody who clearly has used violence in the past, and somebody who clearly did not know how to play well with others or to deal with a relationship situation in a responsible manner. That is frankly beyond me. I don't know why somebody who violated an order of protection would be out to do this horrible crime with which he is charged. Paul, just some details on the situation from yesterday. Back in May, on May 19th, the suspect in what would be an eventual murder, the suspect broke into this home and basically broke a door and grabbed the throat of the woman involved. He was released on $50,000 bail. An order of protection was issued by the court. But then 4 days later, he goes back, allegedly, to the woman's place, violates the order of protection, and he's released on his own recognizance. How does that actually happen when you've got somebody with a violent criminal history? I don't get it.
Well, I guess the appropriate person to ask would be the judge and what was going through their mind, what their reason was. I haven't looked at the transcript or whatever to see what the judge said or what the DA said, because what would happen is an assistant DA would go to a judge and say, you know, we don't think there should be any bail, and here are all the reasons. And then, you know, the judge ultimately, after hearing the DA and a defense lawyer, would make their own findings. And here, whatever it was, persuaded the judge that, new conditions could be imposed. that would do the job. Supposedly, historically anyway, the only purpose for bail, and remember, bail is a constitutional right, Eighth Amendment of the United States Constitution, the only reason that somebody would be denied bail is if they were a poor risk to come back to court. That was the traditional reason for bail, is to guarantee they would come back for court. Well, there are other circumstances. For example, if they were violent towards someone, a so-called victim or whatever,
they were.
A judge has a decision. They could say, and stay away from this victim, or they could say, you know, we don't think there are any facts or circumstances or conditions that are going to guarantee you're going to stay away from this person, so we're not going to grant bail. Here, apparently, the judge felt that there were enough conditions put in place that they would ensure that he'd come back to court and wouldn't contact anybody in connection to the case. And it didn't turn out that way.
No, the prosecutor, the second arrest in which the perpetrator allegedly violated the order of protection, the prosecutor wanted $30,000 bail, and the release was on his own recognizance after violating a court order. I don't get this at all.
Well, again, we don't know all. I don't know all the facts. Usually when a judge releases someone on their own recognizance, it's because they are convinced, meaning the judge, that that person is going to come back and be in court when they're supposed to be. Bail supposedly is only for the purpose of ensuring someone comes to court. It's not supposed to be there because it's going to, you know, prevent some further thing from happening. We know that factually that does turn out to be the case in some situations where you can set all the conditions you want, and then, you know, the defendant goes out and kills a witness or something. I mean, those things happen rarely, but they do happen.
But I thought that the judge could take into account the possibility of violence to a member of society in determining whether somebody is going to be held for bail or is released on his or her own recognizance.
And you know, 100% you look at this, right.
That's okay, well, this guy's track record does not indicate that he was a good risk, that he was going to stay away from the alleged victim, no?
Well, I I'm not familiar with his track record and the facts, but apparently the judge was not convinced by that alleged prior record. Wow. That this person wouldn't be a good bail risk.
Well, he's a convicted killer from the 1990s, for one. You know, he did over 20 years in prison. It's like that should be a kind of a red flag, I would think.
Well, just sitting here talking about it over the phone, yes. What the facts were in court, what was presented to the judge, and why the judge was convinced that bail could be fixed and that it would do the job, I don't know. I mean, I don't know those facts. Wow. So I don't want to just guess. The judge must have had some reason. My experience is that the judges are very careful about bail and conditions of bail, and especially in situations where there's some kind of history of violence, threats, intimidation, or what have you.
Yeah. It sounds to me, frankly, just reading the information I have, that somebody really dropped the ball and really dropped it big time in this particular case. Getting back to bail reform in general, Paul, what is the biggest misconception that most people have with respect to bail reform?
Well, it kind of goes back to bail. You know, for the most part, you would assume that somebody, if they're presumed to be innocent under our law, then don't treat them as if they're guilty when it comes time to fix bail. But too often we do see that. You know, the pendulum swings both ways. You've got people now and then that are released on bail and bad things happen. But we also have lots and lots of people sitting in jails who aren't violent or a threat to anybody, but they don't have any money. They don't have any property, or they don't have anybody to vouch for them, or whatever it would take to convince a judge that they should be released on bail. And again, remember, bail is a constitutional, and when I say right, don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean that it's automatic. It means that bail and the opportunity for bail is available to everyone by terms of the Constitution. Whether or not the facts support granting bail is a different story.
Yeah, I mean, it is a constitutional right, but I understand, based on our conversation, that there is an asterisk to that involving what is the risk of flight possibility and what is the danger to society possibility. In other words, a judge does have some latitude in determining whether or not an individual is eligible for bail.
Yeah, if you think about it practically, that right really is just an opportunity to convince a judge that that you should be released. It's not an automatic, you know, everybody gets bail. Everybody doesn't get bail. If they have a history of not appearing in court, chances are no bail. If they have a history of intimidating witnesses and so on, chances are no bail. That sort of thing. You know, it's fact-based.
What if somebody's first offense is murder, too? Do they get bail?
Well, that's interesting. They are eligible for bail. It's not a matter of, you know, no bail. Certain offenses could be no bail offenses, but I've had plenty of individuals charged with murder who were granted bail pending trial, and, you know, there were no incidents. They all appeared, and there was no issue. You know, there is a presumption of innocence that knocks heads with, you know, bail.
So are accused murderers eligible to be released on their own recognizance as well?
Well, I mean, own recognizance, I've never seen that. But, you know, are they eligible? Yeah, they're eligible for bail, depending upon, you know, the charge, and including murder in the second degree. They could be eligible for bail. Whether it be granted or not is another story. But they're at least eligible for it. And I've had many clients over the years charged with murder, all on bail. I'm having a hard time thinking of anybody who wasn't on bail, federal and state.
Paul Cambria is with us, Buffalo attorney, News Radio 930, WBEN. I want to thank you very much for being on with us, Paul. This whole thing is it's very interesting. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of people scratching their heads over this one. And I think they're going to be scratching their heads even more when I get into some of the particulars of what the suspect in yesterday's Buffalo murder was allegedly involved in over the past few months. It's not really a pretty picture.
Well, you know, one thing, in fairness to judges, there's no crystal ball, tea leaves or whatever. They operate based on what they're told by one side and the other side. And, you know, sometimes they make a judgment and it turns out that somebody violates that judgment, does something bad while they're on bail. You know, those things happen. And that doesn't mean that there should not be bail, even in murder cases. There are times when, you know, people appear to be a good candidate for bail and it turns out they're not. And judges are damned if they do in that situation, because it's like they try to blame the judge. Well, the judge didn't have a crystal ball. They just operate on the best facts they have in front of them. There are plenty of judges who allowed people to be out on bail. And they went out and killed somebody.
Yeah, I mean, in this case here, violating a restraining order and going back to the same victim, to me, that should have been a common sense red flag. And $30,000 bail actually seems a little low for that kind of offense.
Yeah, well, like I say, I wasn't there. And the last thing I do is second guess people who have to make tough decisions, and that includes judges. Judges make decisions every day sometimes. it turns out to be terrible, and other times, you know, it's fine. It's a tough job.
I mean, look, I'm not a judge, I'm not a lawyer, but to me, this wouldn't have been a tough decision. I'm sorry, but it would have been, oh, okay, you violated the order of protection, you went back to the same victim, and we're going to keep you here until the trial.
And like I say, you know, I didn't see the facts. I don't know what the record is. I don't know what persuaded the judge to allow the person out on bail. No clue.
But, understood.
Yeah. It sounds understood. Like, you know, it sounds like, as you recited, that it should be a no bail situation. But again, I don't know all the facts. I don't know if you do, but I don't.
Well, I've got more facts, which I will descant upon momentarily. Paul, I want to thank you very much for joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN. Always a pleasure. Thanks for talking to us about bail reform and bail in general, and appreciate your time.
You got it. Anytime.
All right. Thank you very much. Paul Cambria, Buffalo attorney on News Radio 930 WBEN.